Who is she? She's the only survivor from when those bloodsuckers took out that small human town. Lauren said he wiped her mind and sent her back to the lower 48. I was sure he told her to never return to Alaska, so what the hell is she doing here?
He kept his gaze locked on her.
You'd better call Lauren, Voltai. Are you sure she's the right one?
They were talking as if JD wasn't there. Did that mean that Digger thought he had her under his control? Was she supposed to be like some breathing, brainless doll? He looked furious and scary. She masked her features and held him very still, prepared to pretend. She didn't know what he'd do if he realized she was more than aware of what was going on, in control of her body and thoughts.
I thought that damn RV looked familiar, but I didn't walk up and inspect it. It'll have California plates, but the tow car had Washington ones. That's why I didn't put it together.
Digger leaned in a little.
Hold real still, sweetheart. No need to be afraid. We're gonna send you home so we don't have to kill you. Your heart is racing.
She tried to slow that down. He either had super good hearing or he could feel her pulse.
Lauren is busy. The delegates from the clans are here. They arrived this morning. They're all up the hill at the lodge. I'm supposed to send any humans on their way so they don't stick around. Call Lavos, then. He's up there, too. He dropped in about half an hour ago and said he had to go kiss some ass. I think we should handle this. Put her to sleep, and I'll carry her to the back storeroom while you go find out what's wrong with her engine. We'll wake her up and send her on her way as soon as you get it running right. I'll even fill her tank.
She'll just remember it was something trivial you fixed fast.
She pumped her own gas and took off. She got food. Not a problem. I saw how she likes her hot dogs. I'll just get her fresh ones. She won't even notice a time gap if we implant that she arrived here whenever you get her engine going. Sleep,
Digger ordered. JD closed her eyes and let her body slump. It was going to hurt if she hit the floor, but the idea of letting the two werewolves know she was immune might be more painful, since Digger mentioned killing her. The mechanic didn't allow her fall. He held her up until Voltai walked up behind her and grabbed her under her arms. He lifted her off her feet against his solid body.
Her keys are on the counter,
Voltai turned with her. She let her head fall forward, playing dead to the world. He adjusted his hold on her to free a hand when they must have reached a door. He bent back to keep her body against his front. Then he eased her down on something soft. She waited until she heard a door close before she peeked. It was a small storage room, and there was a sleeping bag on the floor, where she'd been gently dumped. She listened, hearing Voltai and Digger softly speaking from the other room. She just couldn't make out what they said. She sat up when she realized she was alone. She saw the back door and rose up, walking toward it. There was a glass window, and she peeked out. The big log cabin up the hill was within sight. That had to be the lodge they'd talked about. Lavos would be there. She glanced at the other door that led into the store. She could lie back down and play along until they sent her on her way. It would mean she couldn't return. Digger and Voltai would know she'd fooled them then for sure. She looked out the window again, watching the line of trees. No one else was around. She glanced at the log structure. It wasn't too far away, and thick trees covered most of the hill. She debated her options. It would be stupid to make a dash for that lodge to find Lavos on her own. They'd mentioned delegates from other clans. She could guess what that meant. Werewolves from other packs had come to visit. The woods could literally be crawling with them. The memory of what Lavos looked like while shifted sent a chill down her spine. Her other alternative would be to forget about trying to gain his help by meekly leaving town. But she'd come a long way. It was a hell of a choice. The memory of those vampires flashed in her mind. What if they did send out messages to other vampire nests? Lavos said they love to live in cities. She'd be safe if she avoided any large ones, probably. Damn, she muttered. What if vampires and werewolf packs talked to share information? They knew she was immune to mind control. Was there already some alert going out for her? Would everything that went bump in the night and day be after her ass? Paranoia could only go so far to keep her safe. She needed to know what she was up against if she wanted a chance at surviving. That meant she'd have to get answers. She could kidnap a werewolf and make him talk. She ditched that idea as soon as it formed. She wasn't about to kill someone like Lavos, regardless of what they wanted to do to her. They were just trying to protect their secrets, unlike vampires who were bloodthirsty perverts who attacked women for no good reason. The two men in the store had just wanted to wipe her memory and send her on her way. Neither one had demanded she perform sexual acts on them. Her last option would be to change her looks, ditch the RV and her car. That RV was her only protection, though. Her dad had left her a lot of money. She could order another RV that wasn't traceable, but it would take months to have all the special features added to it. Months she'd be sleeping in motels with cheap doors and easy access to her if something wanted in. Fuck! She stared up at that lodge. She needed to talk to Lavos. She didn't want to die. Digger was going to go play with her engine, and he'd figure out fast that there wasn't anything wrong with it. He'd come back, and she'd have to leave town. Her only chance at finding Lavos would be gone. She gripped the handle of the door, but examined the frame first. There was no alarm hook to it. It wasn't even a sturdy security door. The town must not have much crime. She twisted the knob, and it turned. She opened the door an inch. Damn, she hissed. This is stupid. But what choice do I have? She eased the door open and stepped outside. She froze momentarily, looking at the woods once more, not seeing any other people or hairy beasts. She pushed off the wall and ran for all she was worth to the line of trees. Chapter 11 J.D. peeked out from behind a big tree trunk, staring at the building. No one lounged outside, but she couldn't exactly just stroll inside the double doors. Her heart pounded and she turned her head, looking down the hill she'd just climbed. The small town sat below. Her RV remained parked at the garage. Digger had lifted the hood up and stood on something to reach the engine. Voltai hadn't charged out of the store to search for her so far. At least she hadn't seen him. How easy would it be for them to track her? They're like dogs, probably as simple as pie. She clenched her teeth. A noise behind her made her startle and turn her head. The double doors opened and a few men stepped outside of the lodge. They weren't Lavos, but they looked badass. Were all the men in town muscular and large? It seemed that way, since all of Lavos's pack she'd seen so far fit that exact description. One of them jogged down the steps and headed into the woods behind the lodge. The other one withdrew his phone, dialed, and then held it up to his ear. His voice didn't carry to her, but he seemed to be amused by whoever he spoke to. The guy strolled toward the side of the building, still talking on his phone. He disappeared around the corner. J.D. looked down the hill. Digger had closed the hood on her RV and carried his toolbox inside his garage. Shit. Time wasn't on her side. The doors opened behind her again. She knew the sound now. She peered around the tree trunk, and relief flooded her as Lavos stepped out. He talked to someone inside, his body turned sideways. She drank in his profile. He wore a nice t-shirt and faded jeans. He looked really good. He even wore the biker boots still. "Close the door so I can step out and you can see me," she thought his way. "Come on, stop talking so I can let you know I'm here." He closed the door and took a few steps down the stairs. J.D. sucked in a deep breath and almost moved when the door opened again. A tall, beautiful, dark-haired woman wearing a green formal dress exited. "Wait!" Lavos spun, giving J.D. his back. The woman stopped at the top of the stairs. Her mouth moved, but J.D. had no idea what she said. She wished she could hear them. Lavos stayed at the bottom of the steps. J.D. glanced down the hill. Digger had left his garage and walked toward the gas station. He would go in there and they'd know she'd escaped. Panic hit. They'd hunt for her. She twisted her head, irritated that the woman and Lavo still yacked away as if they didn't have a care in the world. The woman gripped the railing of the stairs and gracefully made her way down each step. J.D. didn't miss the way she seemed to be looking at Lavo's as if he were a meat stick she wanted to eat. She proved J.D.'s theory by stopping one step up so her and Lavo's were the same height. The bitch put her hands on the tops of his shoulders and leaned in. Her dress was so low-cut, her boobs almost spilled out. Jealousy struck, but J.D. pushed it back. She had bigger worries, like the fact that Digger was now inside the store and they'd probably noticed she wasn't still inside that storage room. She looked down in time to see the back door being thrown open and Voltai rushing outside. The jig is up. Damn! She watched Digger join Voltai behind the store. The clerk crouched, bracing his hand on the ground. He was either sniffing or looking for footprints. His head snapped up, and he seemed to be staring right in her direction. J.D. ducked fast, hoping he hadn't spotted her. There was a lot of vegetation between him and her. She turned her head, looking at the lodge. Lavo's had backed away from the woman. He turned in J.D.'s direction and advanced with long-legged strides. The woman called out loud enough for her words to carry. "When is a good time, Lavo's?" He paused and glanced back.
"Later. I have to make rounds."
He faced J.D.'s way and started walking again. The woman grabbed her skirt and hiked it up a few inches, rushing after him. She got in front of Lavo's, released her skirt, and put both of her hands on his chest to prevent him from getting around her.
"You don't need to play hard to get to hold my interest. I think we're a perfect match."
The woman sounded angry.
"I don't enjoy games."
J.D. leaned up a little, hoping to catch a glimpse of where Digger and Voltai were. She spotted them coming up the hill. They'd reach her within minutes. She didn't have any time left. She just straightened and stepped out. The woman's back was to her, and Lavus's focus was on the woman, so he didn't spot J.D. She waved her arms, and he must have seen the motion because his gaze lifted. His surprise was evident when they made eye contact. His mouth fell open. The woman started to turn, but Lavo suddenly gripped her arms.
"Later. We got an alert and I'm on duty. You need to go inside. You don't want the enemy to see you."
He spoke loudly. J.D. got the message. She ducked behind the tree and stared down the hill. She caught a glimpse of Digger and took a seat on the ground. They were coming right at her, moving way faster than she had, and it was a steep hill. Lavos's boots crunched on the ground as he drew closer. She held still but lifted her chin when he entered the woods and stepped right in front of her.
"What in the hell?"
He looked good. Angry, but as handsome as ever. "Hi." She lifted her hand to give him a tiny wave. He crouched, spreading his thighs on both sides of her and bracing his hands on the tree above her head.
"Are you insane? How did you get here? How were you able to get past the enforcers?"
"I think two of them are coming after me right now. I mean that literally. Digger and Voltai are almost here." A deep snarl tore from him and he twisted his head. He sniffed the air.
"I smell them."
He focused on her.
"Don't say a word. Not one. I'll handle this. Don't move either."
"Okay." He rose to his full height and turned, planting his booted feet right in front of her bent knees. She leaned a little to the right to see around him. Voltai arrived first, with Digger right on his heels.
"We have a problem,"
Voltai growled.
"I'm aware."
Lavus's tone sounded calmer.
"Is that human from the campsite?"
Digger sounded a little out of breath.
"You found her?"
"Yes, I did.
Return to your posts. I'll handle this."
"I put her to sleep, but she woke and took off. Something is wrong with her."
"Digger."
Lavo's paused. "Listen to me. I want you to drive her motorhome out to my place. I see it from here. Then I want both of you to keep damn quiet about her being here."
"Did you hear me? She woke and took off."
Digger seemed worked up. "I implanted orders in her. She was to find me if she had any information about the vampires who want to start a war."
"You didn't tell me that."
Voltai stepped to the side, frowning at J.D.
She's human. A smart one who is very receptive to taking orders.
Lavos inched back, putting his body closer to hers.
She's our spy. We have other clans here, though, and I don't want them to know about her.
Does Lorne know about this?
Voltai scowled at Lavos.
Of course. It was his idea. I need to get the information from her, but I don't want anyone alarmed that there's a human in town. And I don't have time to argue with the two of you. I'm issuing you orders. Hide any trace that she was here and keep your mouths shut. Drive her motor home to my house and hide it around back. Lorne is busy right now, so I'm handling this on my own. Go!
Both men took off fast. JD relaxed. Lavos held still, seeming to watch them until they were far down the hill. He turned, then glared down at her.
Do you have any idea what kind of shitstorm this could start? What are you doing here? What possessed you to find me? How did you find me? Do you have a death wish?
That's a lot of questions. He crouched and leaned forward, bracing his hands on the tree again. It put their faces about a foot apart.
I told you how dangerous it would be if anyone figured out you were immune to our eyes.
Speaking of, she stared into his. They were still as beautiful as she remembered.
Is that woman your girlfriend or something?
She couldn't believe that popped out of her mouth. She sealed her lips. He blinked a few times.
No. Do you know what? Be quiet.
He glanced around the area.
The meet and greet is officially about to begin soon. That means everyone will be heading this way. I need to get you out of here. Roll in the dirt.
What?
He stood, backing away. To cover your scent, the reek of human. Roll in the dirt. Just do it. We don't have much time. You can clean up once I have you inside my house. Roll, JD. Do you want to survive or not?
Great. She was close to the ground already, at least. She leaned forward and flattened onto her belly. She rolled, squeezing her eyes closed. The earth was loose and dry. The strong smell of it filled her nose.
A few more times, he ordered. You need to be coated to hide your scent.
She rolled again and wiggled against the ground, then stopped and sat up.
I feel like that old cartoon character who throws off grime when he walks.
Lavos grinned and offered her a hand.
You can have a hot shower soon.
She gripped it and he pulled her to her feet. He was strong, and that smile of his made her belly quiver. He was just too good-looking.
That's not how I imagined it would be if you ever asked me to get down and dirty.
His eyes lit up, glowing.
Don't flirt with a predator, JD. I bite.
He released her hand and suddenly bent, snagging her around her knees with one arm. She gasped when he lifted her right off her feet and her world turned upside down. He wrapped his other arm around the back of her thighs.
Be quiet and still. I'm going to move fast to avoid everyone.
He lunged into the woods. She made no protests, but she did wonder about that bite reference he'd mentioned. Would he actually bite her?
It didn't sound as scary as it might have once.
Lavos was extremely hot.
It wasn't as if she hadn't fantasized about him nibbling on her a few times since they'd met.
Lavos paused and sniffed the air. He scented some of his clan nearby. He turned left, skirting one of the trails that would lead to the lodge. He could still faintly smell JD, but he had her slung over his shoulder. The dirt smell was stronger, tickling his nose almost into a sneeze.
What in the hell is she doing here?
He had 100 questions, but couldn't ask them until he got her safely inside his house. Lorne would shit a brick when he found out JD had entered their territory. The timing couldn't have been worse. They were supposed to be showing the other clans that they were strong and able to hold their own clan together. It would be bad if anyone found out not only had they allowed JD to keep her memories, but she'd hunted down where they lived. JD kept silent. He was grateful for that. Humans weren't known for following orders well unless they were being made to. He reached his land and relaxed a little. He'd taken the long way to get there and come around the back. Her motorhome and trailered car had already been parked behind his house. He marched to the back door of his home and entered, slamming and locking it behind him. He kept her over his shoulder. He took the stairs two at a time and didn't stop until he entered the master bathroom. He supported her back and bent, depositing her gently on his counter. She took in his bathroom and smiled. Nice. He had no idea what to say to her first. Dirt covered her, but she was still as appealing as hell.
Why did you come here, JD?
I'm in trouble. I didn't know where else to go. That suddenly made him feel more concern than irritation over her bad timing.
What kind of trouble?
Can I shower first? It's kind of a long story. She touched her jeans and grimaced. I stink.
Yes, I have to make a call.
He'd have to tell Lorne he wasn't returning to the lodge and why. He backed up.
Do it fast. I'll be waiting in the bedroom.
He entered his room and closed the door between them. He used his cell phone to contact his brother.
Where are you? Lorne didn't sound happy.
Can you be heard?
Yes.
Walk away and find some privacy.
Of course.
His voice grew a little distant, as if he'd lowered the phone away from his mouth.
Excuse me, I have to take this call.
Long seconds ticked by, and Lorne sighed into the phone.
Okay, I'm in the bathroom and no one else is in here. Is there a problem?
Lavos closed his eyes, dreading his next words.
I'll handle it. It's just that I won't be at the feast later. You have to be here.
Lorne growled.
I need you. Don't blow your top. But JD is in my bathroom.
Lorne said nothing. Lavos winced.
I'll figure out how she found us and why she's here. She just said she's in trouble. That's why I need to stay here. No one can see her. I knew it was a mistake to let her go,
Lorne said.
Saving her wasn't a mistake. I know you don't mean that. You're just under a lot of stress right now. I'll handle this. Make my excuses to your guests.
And tell them what? My lead enforcer has better things to do than spend time with them?
Lorne growled.
Do you know how the rest of our clan is going to react when they find out you're harboring a human inside your home?
There'll be more challenges for leadership.
Decker made them hate humans too much. They'll believe I'm weak. I supported you being with Kira. I love Kira, and she's not exactly weak now, is she? She was also raised in this clan. You barely know JD. They haven't bitched too much about Vesso and Glenn. He's not my lead enforcer and brother.
Lavos reached up and fisted his hair. He knew Lorne made valid points.
Look, she's in trouble. I like her. She found us and she's here. I'm not gonna send her on her way until I find out what the hell is going on. I can come for the feast, but that means I leave her here alone. Is that okay with you?
He released his hair and let his hand drop to his side.
No. What if she goes outside? What if someone sees her? What if she strolls right in here and introduces herself to everyone? She obviously doesn't have much common sense if she came back after she was given her freedom. I'll explain things to her. You did that once, yet she's here.
Lorne calmed.
Okay. I'll tell them there was a vampire sighting near one of our borders last night, and we just heard about it. That will excuse you from the feast, since I'd send you to check that out. Just deal with her and get her on her way by morning. Am I clear? Very. And Lavos? What? Fuck her and get it over with. Your fascination with her isn't healthy for either of us.
Lorne ended the call. Chapter 12 Lavos paced the bedroom until the water shut off in the other room. He waited for her to come out. JD didn't belong in their territory. He and Lorne were cool with humans, but the rest of the clan wouldn't be okay with their leader's brother taking a human mate. They would see it as a weakness and a reason to challenge. Old-school thinking wasn't going to easily change. The door opened and JD stepped out wearing just a towel around her middle. He swallowed hard, trying but failing not to stare at the tops of her breasts or those shapely legs of hers. For a short woman, she had a great body.
I didn't want to put my dirty clothes back on.
I should have remembered to give you something.
He knew he should offer her clothes to wear, but his boots seemed glued to the floor. He'd wanted J.D. naked in his bed, and it was just across the room. It would be easy to snatch that towel away and carry her there. She kept hold of the towel with one hand and leaned against the door jamb. How mad at me are you?
Not very. I'm more surprised than anything.
I bet. Should I start at the beginning or just get to the point?
You said you were in trouble.
He locked gazes with her to avoid getting turned on more by ogling her body.
Why?
A vampire attacked me. His gaze lowered to her neck. He didn't see any wounds there. He took a step closer, alarmed. I killed him. I would have just let him bite me so he thought his eyes were working, but my blood wasn't the only thing he wanted. He glanced down her body.
He wanted sex.
He couldn't blame the vampire. She was very attractive. But it also pissed him off. She was too good for one of those damn blood bags. Then her other statement registered.
You killed him?
Yes.
How did you do that?
He drew even closer, wanting to pull her into his arms. The thought of her fighting off a vampire chilled his blood. She could have been killed. She was too small to be a fighter. Humans rarely survived facing off against a vamp. I think the ice pick I shoved into his nuts gave me the advantage. His leg automatically twitched, wanting to protect his own.
Ouch!
He ordered me to get down on my knees and blow him. He let them hang out in the breeze. I just aimed for the closest body part. They were a bigger target than his dick. It was sad. I could almost understand why he felt the need to mind-warp women so they wouldn't laugh when he unzipped. I've seen bigger ones when I changed diapers. Lavos would have laughed, but he saw the haunted look in her eyes. He also noticed how tired she looked for the first time. She'd been traumatized by the ordeal she spoke of, probably tormented by nightmares when she slept.
Come here.
He opened his arms. She did, to his surprise. He pulled her into a hug. She was damp and smelled like him since she'd used his shampoo and conditioner. He lowered his chin until it rested on top of her head, not minding the wet strands. She could have been killed. He exploded on me, just not the way he meant to. How can one body make so much ash? He closed his eyes and held her tighter when she shivered. He doubted she was cold. It was more from the trauma she must have suffered.
How did you kill him?
Fire axe to the throat. I thought I'd have to chop at him a bit, but one swing did it. She shuddered in his arms. His head came off, and boom, ash explosion. He rubbed her back.
My brave J.D. It sounds as if he got lucky and hit his neck just right. They have stronger bones than humans, but they weaken if he hasn't fed for a while.
Then his nest came after me. They must have seen what happened and somehow followed me home. A bunch of them surrounded my place. They couldn't get in since I had started living in the RV, but at dawn, I got the hell out of there. I didn't know if more of them would come after me. They knew my name. I'm fucked, aren't I? He picked her up. She tensed in his arms but didn't struggle. He carried her to the bed and eased her back onto her feet.
Sit.
He let her go. It was difficult. He liked holding her. She sat on the edge of his bed and he crouched in front of her, bracing her knees between his spread ones. It put them at face level.
It depends. Were they rogues?
How can you tell?
Did the one you kill smell bad, as if he hadn't bathed in a while?
She shook her head. He was a well-dressed perv.
Rogues tend to be a little nuts, and they don't live the way humans do. The organized vamps pretend they're human. They keep homes and take care of their appearances to avoid drawing attention.
These vampires seemed organized. The two women and five guys were dressed almost in uniform, in all black clothes. He sighed.
It means they're members of a nest, and probably associated with the Vampire Council if they weren't rogues.
They have a council?
Yes.
That means they can tell other nests about me, right?
What about your werewolf packs? Will they be sending out alerts about me to them, too? Can you check to see if you've gotten one yet? He hated to see the fear in her eyes. The Vampire Council would spread the word to other nests if one of them reported JD.
Do they know you're immune to their eyes?
Yes, she swallowed hard. I didn't blow the perv, and another one demanded I unlock my car door to let him in at a red light after I left work. I took off like a bat out of hell and left rubber on the streets in my wake. Then those other ones showed up at my place. Did I mention they know my name? He let that sink in. It was bad. Vampire nests would be looking for her. She'd killed one of them. That was enough to stir their wrath. A human killing a vampire tended to be a crime they wanted punished. The fact that she was immune to them controlling her mind and erasing her memories would make them fear her. You probably think I should have just given the pervert a blowjob, right?
No.
The desire to rip apart the vamp who had come after JD surged, but he was already dead.
You had every right to defend yourself. I'm just glad you were able to. You're lucky to be alive.
I won't be for long if more vampires find me. Is anywhere safe for me to go? I was thinking about avoiding big cities, but then I realized they could send your kind after me, too. Is that how it works? I needed to know, so I came to you for answers. Will I be safe if I just lock down at night and only go out during the day?
I need to tell you something, JD.
It's bad, isn't it? I'm toast, aren't I? Spit it out. Can you put in a good word for me with these packs so they don't come after me? Tell them I'm dog-friendly or something?
I'm not a werewolf.
Her eyebrows shot up. You're not a vamp. We were just outside. The sun burns them.
I'm something else.
But I saw you. You were a big dog.
I'm both.
She frowned.
I'm a vamp lichen. Long story short, vampires and lichens once held alliances, but it turned out bad. The male vampires figured out they could get the female lichens pregnant. They attacked the women, willing or not. I'm a result of both races.
She chewed on her bottom lip.
I can't tell Pax to leave you alone. We're not in control of them, and we don't have sway with the Vampire Council. They hate and fear us. We avoid them, too, so they don't think we're trying to start another war. Vampires can be paranoid about that shit.
JD leaned back a few inches, staring at his mouth with a little trepidation. You drink blood? I hope you're not hungry. She wasn't screaming or trying to get away. Her mild reaction amused him.
Your neck is safe.
He glanced down at the towel. Her body was another matter. He swallowed, attempting to ignore how easy it would be to strip her.
We get the ability to control minds from vampires. We shift forms thanks to our lichen blood. It pretty much means we got the better qualities of the two, and far fewer weaknesses.
Do you have a council?
No. We have four clans, with a leader for each one.
Will they get notified about me and start trying to take me out?
Not if I can help it.
I'm starting to feel like a unicorn. He laughed, her response totally unanticipated.
Why is that?
It seems it's pretty rare to be immune to your eyes. I must be unique if this many people want to kill me.
The vampires will fear that you'll start hunting and taking out their nests. There are other humans like you who are immune, and in the past they became vampire hunters. The council used to actively track and take them out in the old days. It's probably why there aren't as many of your kind as there used to be. They'd slaughter entire families so their children couldn't continue the tradition of becoming hunters. They believed it could be a hereditary trait.
I just want to live and let live. I have no intention of becoming a vampire slayer. I wouldn't have used an axe on that jerk, except he came after me. I was just taking out the trash after work, not asking for him to flash me his goods and order me to blow him.
I understand. But you have to remember that a lot of these masters are hundreds of years old, if not thousands. They run the council, and therefore they rarely change the way they think.
Thousands? He nodded.
Some are. My vampire ancestor was over 2,000 years old. I never met him, but I heard the stories. He was one of the few ancients who came to America once it was discovered. Most stayed in Europe, since travel was highly dangerous for day sleepers. They'd starve or be discovered by humans during the long journeys by ship if they fed from passengers.
They didn't have red-eye flights? He chuckled.
No, they didn't.
Where is this antique vampire ancestor of yours?
It's uncertain. He may have been killed during the war.
The Civil War?
The war between vampires and lichens.
I missed reading about that one in my history books. J.D. amused him. He enjoyed her sense of humor.
Humans who did know wish they hadn't. Most didn't survive. They were food for vampires.
Who won?
We did, obviously, considering we're not under the control of vampires. They wanted to use lichen women as breeders to create an army of children like what I am. They believed they could control them the way they do their nests.
How is that?
A master rules everyone in his nest to an almost slave-like degree. They plan to use the children to protect them during the day, and vampires can also survive off lichen blood.
Dual purpose. It sounds great for the vampires, but not so much for the kids. Slave labor and blood donors.
Exactly. The lichen women weren't too thrilled either. Vampires didn't care if they were willing to become breeders or even if they were already mated. They just attacked them once they realized they could get them pregnant under certain conditions. The lichen men defended their women. That started the war. The lichens fought while the women of breeding age ran away. Then the children were born, and the vampires had something to fear as we matured.
You are a badass, he grinned.
We have their strengths, but not their weaknesses. Let's just say the war was over once we grew up. It's against the law for a vampire to force a lichen to breed anymore. If they tried, we can hunt them down during their day sleep and take them out. We have claws to rip their heads off. They just have fangs and sharp fingernails, if they let them grow out. They tend to avoid us to stay alive. The lichens avoid us because we upset their pack structures.
English?
Almost every vamp lichen is considered an alpha because of our strengths and abilities. A lichen pack exists because a single alpha holds them together. They survive by living in small groups to help keep them stronger as a unit. We show up, and it makes them nervous.
They're afraid you'll take over their packs?
Yes.
How do your clans work? He sighed.
It's complicated. It not only takes strength to lead a clan, but respect.
He paused, instantly thinking of Decker.
Or fear.
It sounds complicated. She broke eye contact with him and glanced at his arms. So, who was that woman?
The one at the lodge.
No one. She locked gazes with him. She looked like someone. Lavos knew she wasn't the type to just drop something. It was one of the things he liked about J.D.
She's visiting from another clan.
Have you ever slept with her?
No.
Ever wanted to? She was bold. He liked it.
No.
Ah, okay. Does she want to sleep with you?
Yes.
Her mouth compressed into a tight line. I knew it. She seems really interested.
It isn't gonna happen. I'm not interested in her.
Do you already have a girlfriend? She glanced around. I haven't seen anything to indicate you're dating someone. There's no women's stuff in your bathroom. She'd looked.
He was flattered. I met someone recently that I'm attracted to. I can't get her out of my thoughts. I don't want to settle for someone else when I only seem to want one woman.
She stared into his eyes. Does she have a name? He almost laughed.
Yes, everyone does.
Want to tell me what it is?
Do you want to keep playing this game?
He leaned in closer, inhaling through his nose. He wanted her badly. I'm not playing. I'm just curious. A soft growl rumbled from him.
Are you going to deny the attraction between us?
No. I just wasn't sure if it was mutual.
Do you think I would have brought you into my home and protected you from my clan when you trespassed if I didn't want you right where you are?
She glanced down at his bed, then looked at him. Nice.
I'm not sure how to take that response.
He wanted to kiss her.
You don't look afraid.
Should I be?
Possibly. You know what I am and that I want you.
I'm not feeling any fear. He inched closer until their breaths mingled.
Are you on anything?
I don't do drugs.
He tilted his head, wondering if she was joking or being serious.
Birth control.
No. Is that an issue?
It might be if I take that towel off you and do what I've wanted to since we met.
Her tongue darted out and she licked her lips.
I thought your kind couldn't get my kind pregnant unless we were the same species.
Wrong.
He glanced down.
You'd have to be ovulating, though.
I can't tell.
I can. Get rid of the towel.
How would you know?
I'd taste it.
Her eyes widened just slightly, then heat crept up into her cheeks. He thought the fact that she blushed was telling. His JD was less sophisticated than she pretended to be if oral sex caused that reaction from her.
Toss the towel and lie back, JD.
He held his breath, waiting to see how she'd respond. He was keeping his lust in check to prevent his eyes from glowing and proving how much he wanted her. He thought about warning her, but then figured it was best not to remind her of how different they truly were. She reached up and tugged the towel free where she tucked it over her breasts to keep the seams together. He tried not to stare as she parted it, revealing her creamy skin and lush breasts. Their size wasn't too large nor too small. They were perfect. She tugged the towel open more to show off her belly, then, finally, her lap and the top of her thighs. It took restraint for him to hold still while she lifted up and leaned back, tugging the damp material out from under her. She just blindly threw it in the direction of the bathroom. She shaved almost all of her hair off her mound, just a small, closely cut strip to accent her pussy. JD lay flat on his bed and then surprised him when she spread her thighs, bracing one of her feet against his chest near his shoulder, while placing her other heel firmly on the edge of the bed. Lavos looked at the foot she'd rested on him, amused with the red toenail polish she hadn't noticed before. His attention traveled over her calf, to her bent knee, down her thigh, right back to her pussy.
I have one rule.
He lifted his head, staring at her. She intrigued him, and he became very interested in learning what it would be. He could guess her greatest worry.
I'll be gentle.
That's not it. You already warned me that you bite. Could you avoid fang damage down there? I'm not a fan of clit piercings or pain.
He admired her courage for taking him on.
That's not where I'd bite you if I sink my teeth in.
He tried to lean forward, but she pushed against his chest with her foot, so he held her gaze. She opened her mouth, but he spoke first.
What?
Where would you bite?
I'd roll you over, fuck you from behind until you scream my name, and then go for your shoulder.
No neck? You said you were part vampire.
I don't crave blood, and I'd never bite into a main artery. The fleshy part of your shoulder wouldn't bleed much, and it's a convenient place to go for in that position.
Why bite at all if you don't crave blood?
That's a discussion for another time. I won't bite you, JD.
She eased her foot off him and lowered it, her heel resting on the bed. She spread her legs more, an invitation he wasn't about to resist. He did surprise her when he slid his arms under her thighs and cupped her ass with both hands, lifting her lower half a few inches off the bed. She gasped, but he wanted to taste her too much to waste another second. The scent of her was making his dick hurt. He stopped holding back the lust, letting it flow.
He opened his mouth and ran his tongue along her clit in one slow, long lick. She wasn't prepared for him to fuck her yet, but she would be. Her moan was music to his ears. He growled deeply, hoping it wouldn't scare her. She didn't seem the type to easily frighten. She'd proven that to him a few times already. She tensed, but then she understood why he did it. She moaned. "You vibrate when you do that. Do it again." He almost laughed. His JD was brave and adventurous. He growled louder, sliding his tongue against the bundle of nerves. She tried to wiggle in his hold, spreading her thighs more. Her breathing increased, and so did the sounds of her pleasure. The scent of her desire rose as she started to get wet. All amusement died inside him. He snarled, wanting to fuck her so bad it caused him real pain. He became merciless with his mouth, intent on making her come hard and fast. She arched and cried out his name. Her hips bucked in his hold, and he tore his mouth away, staring down at her sex. Her pussy appeared small and fragile, but so wet. He lowered her ass to the bed and didn't bother with his shirt. He tore at the front of his pants instead, freeing his straining cock. He looked at the size of it, and then again at the small slit of her pussy. Frustration rose with a fury. "Who the hell has she been fucking?" He leaned forward, rubbing the head of his dick against her slit until he was right where he wanted to be. He gently pushed. Her slick flesh parted for him, but it was a tight fit. Her pussy squeezed the head of his dick. He let go of his shaft and gripped her calf, lifting her leg to spread her open more. One glance at her face told him she was still recovering from her climax. Her eyes were closed and her mouth parted as she tried to catch her breath. He leaned over her, letting gravity help him enter her body. He clenched his teeth, caught between heaven and hell. She felt amazing, but he didn't want to risk hurting either of them by making her take his wide girth too fast. She moaned and he looked at her face. Her eyes opened, gaze locking with his.
"Relax."
She nodded and reached out to him. Her fingers curled around his arm, braced on the bed next to her waist. He pushed in more when her muscles relaxed just a tiny bit, the firm grip of her pussy had on him easing. She was hot, wet, and tight. Perfect. He withdrew a little, then pushed in again. She took more of him. He worked back and forth in a torturously slow rhythm that seemed to affect them both as she dug her nails into his skin and moaned his name. He was going to come before he ever got fully seated inside her. He'd wanted her too much and for too long. His balls drew up tight, and he felt the muscles in his lower stomach tensing. JD arched her hips when he moved forward, and he was all inside her on that last thrust. He had to close his eyes to break their connection. His fangs shot out, and he opened his mouth to prevent them from piercing his lower lip. He held still, fighting for control. JD bucked her hips, moving him. That slight friction was too much, and he snarled, knowing he was lost. He came down over her, pinning her to the bed. He wanted to bite her shoulder, but twisted his head, keeping his fangs away. He couldn't hold back. Fucking her without restraint as ecstasy ripped through him. He came deep inside her, not caring if she was ovulating or not, though he hadn't tasted it on her. Lavos rolled so he didn't crush her, keeping her locked to him so his dick remained buried inside her pussy. She clawed at his shoulder, her nails scratching against skin through his shirt. Her racket cry hopefully wasn't one from pain. He felt her muscles squeezing around his dick, and it set him off more, another jet of his sperm shooting inside her. He groaned, turning his head and burying his nose against her throat. His fangs touched her skin, but he didn't bite. Chapter 13. J.D. knew she'd have bruises, but she didn't care. She was on her side, pressed tight against Lavo's. One of her legs was hooked over his hip, the other one tangled under one of his against the bed and off the side of it. The sexy guy had a good, firm hold on her ass cheek. He had big hands, big feet, and the saying was true in his case. Lavo's was hung. Who's the big dog? Lavo's. She almost laughed at that thought. It was one she wouldn't share in case it insulted him. She caught her breath and tried to make her mind work. It was tough to do after he'd just made her come twice in a row. She became aware of more things. He had fangs, and they were touching her throat. She didn't feel any pain, but it was impossible to miss the feel of them with his open mouth on the area just under her ear. He could bite her. She didn't jerk away, not willing to move yet. His heavy breathing tickled a little. She eased her death grip on his shoulder. She must have done that in the heat of the moment. She let her hand trail down his biceps, liking the feeling of them. It was a pity he wore a shirt. She wanted to touch him all over. The man had a wicked mouth, and no one had ever blown her mind better than he had. He'd growled and vibrated as he'd gone down on her. That was an amazing sensation while being licked. It also made her feel a tiny bit embarrassed. She hadn't lasted more than a minute. He'd be disappointed if he wanted to play with her for a while. Lavo's made a low rumbling sound and his chest vibrated against hers. She liked that. He licked her throat. It was a little odd, but nice. His fangs scraped against her and then he closed his mouth, pressing a tiny kiss on that same spot.
Next time we'll do this a bit slower.
He lifted his head and she opened her eyes, loving the sight of his. They were that beautiful, vividly bright blue she found fascinating. They glowed a little, but not too much. He studied her, his expression serious.
Did I hurt you at all?
Nope. She wasn't going to complain about a few bruises from his hands digging into her various body parts, or the tenderness she felt because he was a bit of a stallion.
I wasn't too rough.
She knew what it meant to be fucked like an animal in those last few minutes. He'd gone at her with wild abandon. I liked that part. His smile erased the tension from his features.
Was there anything you didn't like?
She glanced at his shirt. You're overdressed.
I can fix that.
I want to touch you. She hoped he wouldn't back off, hearing those words. Some men like to detach themselves from a woman after sex.
I'm all yours.
He pulled away a little.
Hold that thought and don't go anywhere.
J.D. hated the feeling of him pulling his cock out of her. He still felt hard, though. A surprise, since she knew he'd come. He was vocal about his pleasure, and she liked that. It was sexy hearing him groan her name and all that snarling. Most women probably would have been unnerved by those almost vicious sounds, but not her. He rolled onto his back and sat up. J.D. scooted on her side to the center of his bed. It was kind of awkward as he stood, undressing. This is why I don't do one-night stands, she reminded herself. They were highly attracted to each other, but they weren't yet at a stage where she felt totally comfortable with him. But as Lavo stripped off his clothes, she still admired his beefy ass. He had no tan lines. He turned, presenting her with his front. She could stare at him all day. He had broad shoulders, muscular arms, and his stomach was lined with killer abs. Her attention lowered, taking in what she'd felt firsthand. His cock was big and thick. She was grateful they'd already had sex, or she might have been intimidated enough to feel a little leery of that bad boy. He kept the hair around his groin neatly trimmed. She noticed something when she admired his chest again. You're not wearing your grandma's ring.
I took it off because I was expecting some trouble today.
At the lodge? I know I was a surprise.
The lodge meeting. I hoped no fights would break out, but I wanted to be prepared just in case.
Lavo's got on the bed. He caught her gaze with his.
Any regrets for what we just did?
No.
You look a little stunned.
You're big all over.
He laughed, lying down on his side, facing her. Only inches separated their bodies from touching.
I have good genes.
Yes, you do. Animal magnetism, too.
She smiled, keeping that to herself. He smiled in return and used his arm to prop his head up. He reached out, playing with her hair. He wrapped a damp lock of it around his finger.
We need to talk.
Her good mood died. Already? He unwound her hair from his finger.
You know what I'm gonna say?
Yes. This was a one-day stand kind of deal. Don't get attached. You want me to understand that this isn't going to lead anywhere. I'm human, you're not, yada yada yada.
His eyebrows shot up.
Is that how you feel?
No, but you're still a man. I almost forgot that, despite what we just did.
She felt disappointed, and worse, disgusted with them both. Him for hurting her feelings by seeming to think what they'd done was just sex, and her for not expecting it. She rolled, preparing to get out of bed. She'd borrow something to wear from him that wasn't covered in dirt, and then leave. Maybe she could move to Siberia or Antarctica. She doubted werewolves or vampires would hang out in either place. She'd freeze her ass off, but she'd live longer. She'd almost reached the edge of the bed when Lavos lunged, wrapping an arm around her waist and dragging her back to the center. She twisted her head, gaping at him. He looked pissed.
Where are you going?
I'm leaving.
You're not going anywhere.
His gall pissed her off. I had questions, and you answered them. I can kiss my ass goodbye if that nest contacts their council and has other nests hunting for me, thinking I'm some vampire slayer. I got it. Avoid all vampires. You have no pull with werewolves, so avoid the woods and big parks in case they hang out there. Maybe I can drive my RV into the middle of the desert. Do wolves like blasting heat and miles of cactus?
Why are you so angry with me?
It's mostly at myself, Lavos. I don't know what I was thinking. You get close to me and I turn stupid. That's the problem. Couldn't you have at least waited until tomorrow to pull that we need to talk crap?
I wasn't gonna say what you think I was.
She took a deep breath. Okay, spill it. I'm waiting with bated